Okay, welcome everybody to week one of Leisure and Relaxation in Halacha. This week's topic really is about Talmud Torah. I mean, before we talk about relaxing and taking time off, it really is important for us to know, do we ever have free time? Do we ever have time off? I remember when I was a younger child in Camp Aguda, and every day they'd have learning groups. And at the end of learning groups, someone would get up there on the loudspeaker and say, "Learning Torah never ends, but learning groups are now over." So other than the beautiful Echatun,
yes, exactly.
Other than that, you know, there's that message, learning Torah never ends. And the question is, it's true, you know, we're at summer camp, we play sports, we go on trips, we learn a little bit of Torah here and there. But when it comes to leisure in Halacha, when it comes to adulthood, and maybe even when it comes to kids' summer camps, what are the parameters of Talmud Torah which I need to fulfill, and what does that leave me in terms of leisure? So that's really what we'll be exploring this week. As I mentioned, in the coming weeks, we'll be talking about other leisure activities that people can do in addition to learning Torah. Obviously, learning Torah is a great leisure activity, even if it's not required all the time, and it's nice to see so many people here on their free time. But we'll talk about other sorts of activities that one can do when they're relaxing, whether that be different arts or different crafts or listening to music or watching movies or playing sports or following sports for that matter. Maybe we'll touch on that. But it all really revolves around this first discussion here. And there are two psukim in Tanakh that I thought would be worth quoting as an introduction to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Okay, and here they are. One, we recite multiple times every day. Vishinantam levanach, and source number one from Devarim, 6:7. Vishinantam levanach avdivartabam. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them. When are you doing this? Bishivtecha beveisecha, uvlechtecha vaderech, uvshachpecha, uvkumecha. So, we've got sitting in your house, walking on the way, lying down, rising up, Torah, 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 Torah. You wake up in the morning, Torah. You go to sleep at night, Torah. You're traveling, Torah. Sleeping, waking up. All of these things, it seems that Torah is something which is happening around the clock. Vidibar tabam. You should be talking about these things. You should be teaching it to your children. The obligation, in fact, of teaching Torah to children is one that's very, very important and very, very relevant in Halacha. We won't talk about that because that's not our focus. We're going to talk about more about personal obligations towards Talmud Torah. But, on the other hand, you know, it is important to remember that's also a key component to the discussion surrounding Talmud Torah. The other important source that I wanted to discuss, and source number two, is something that sounds even more extreme. It's one thing to say, especially since this may or may not be actually referring to the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, of reading the Shema, which we do, when we wake up in the morning, when we go to sleep at night. But then there's another pasuk, and this is a pasuk at the beginning of Sefer Yehoshua, okay? Which God tells to Yehoshua, and he tells him the following. Lo yamuch Sefer HaTorah zemipicha. This Sefer HaTorah, this book of the law, of the teaching, shall not depart from your mouth, vehagisa bo yomam valayla. And here a translation, you shall meditate therein day and night. Leman tishmar la'asot k'kol ha'katuv bo, in order that you should observe to do according to all that is written therein. Ki az tatzlech terachecha v'az tesgil, for then thou shalt make thy ways prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. This pasuk is talking about learning Torah, and it says, when's the time for learning Torah? Lo yamush sefer ha'Torah zeh mipicha. It shouldn't be leaving. It should never be departing. Always. V'agita v'yomam v'layla. Day, night, non-stop Talmud Torah. I mean, there are stories of Gedolim where even when they're just waiting somewhere absent-mindedly, they're always mumbling something while they can, right? Lo yamush sefer ha'Torah zami picha. It's Talmud Torah that seems to be ongoing. And although these are just psukim, we have to see how these psukim are developed within the halacha to say, if we're taking this literally, can someone really have time for leisurely activities? Can someone really have time to put their feet up on the beach and watch volleyball? Although beach volleyball may not be the best sport for many reasons. But, right? And regardless of, you know, the ways we may, and it's interesting, actually, I'll make one more comment, actually, on the title of this year. Rabbi Torchiner and I were deciding, you know, in order to put it in Toronto Torah on the back page, sometimes you need to shrink the titles a little bit. So I had Don't I Have to Be Learning Torah? And somehow it changed its way around there originally, said, Should I be learning Torah? I said, well, those may be very different discussions, but I really want to address is the don't I. If we're going to take these psukim literally and say that the obligation of learning Torah is nonstop any second that I can, where does that leave me in terms of relaxing? And if the answer is I can't relax, so be it. If that's what the Torah says, then that's what the Torah says. So let's see how these psukim and others are developed in terms of, A, we're going to look at a couple of Gemaras which are relevant, number one, and number two, this is not all the Gemaras, by the way. There is another separate Gemara in Maseches Brachos, which we're not going to deal with, okay? And we're only going to deal with sources 3 and 4, Menachos and Shabbos, but there's a Gemara in Brachos as well, which talks about working versus learning. Again, that's not the dilemma which we're dealing with here today. We're talking about leisure time versus working, and therefore relevant to us are these two Gemaras, but the fact of balancing work and Torah is yet another discussion, which we won't be able to have today. I hate that I'm leaving out so much, but that's all we can do.
They make a promise here, that if you do this, you're basically going to be rich and have success. I find that to be really problematic.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, because there's mm-hmm. a lot of people who study day and night, night and day, and really have trouble putting food on the...
So this is not necessarily general. This may be specific to Yehoshua and to the people of that time, right? This is being spoken to Yehoshua. So in turn, there are other reasons that you can be concerned with that question, and that's a very concerning question. I'm trying to remember if Rabbi Spitz addressed that in his Hashkafa series earlier this year or not. You know, the question of, again, why do bad things happen to good people? Especially when you may have promises when God says, if you do good, I'll do good to you. If you do bad, I'll punish you. But that's not necessarily what's happening in this pasuk.
Okay.
You're correct, though. And in fact, that's a key point to bear in mind. We're going to see something very interesting in the Gemara in Menachos, which touches upon that point. So let's begin our journey first into the Gemaras and then towards the practical halachic sources as to what, at the end of the day, is required of me when it comes to Talmud Torah. So let's begin. The Gemara in Menachos is very interesting. The Mishnah there in Menachos is talking not about anything relating to Torah, but about the Lechem HaPanim. What's the Lechem HaPanim?
Showbread.
The showbreads, okay? And these showbreads, we're talking about when you take them off and put them on. Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, says the Gemara in source number 3. Rabbi Yossi says, Afilu Silek es Hayeshana Shacharis, even if one removes the old showbread in the morning, V'sider es HaChadasha Arvis, and only put on the new one in the evening, in Bekach Klum, there's no problem. Even though we know that there's a rule that the Lechem Panim has to be Lefanai Tamid, it has to be constantly in front of me, says Rabbi Yossi, Elamani Mekayim Lefanai Tamid, how will I fulfill this requirement of the showbreads being constantly there if I'm going to take them away in the morning and only return them at night? What about the whole day? Says Rabbi Yossi, Shelo Yalin Shulchan Belo Lechem, Lefanai Tamid, explains Rabbi Yossi, doesn't mean that literally every second there must be a showbread there. Lefanai tamid means each day it must be, and therefore we don't want the shulchan, so to say, sleep at night without lechem apanim on it. But if for a few hours here the bread is not on it, that's not a problem when it comes to lechem panim lefanai tamid. And Amar Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Ami says, Midvarav shel Rabbi Yossi nilmod, from these words of Rabbi Yossi, we can learn afilu lo shana adam ela perek echad shachris uferek echad arvis kiyem mitzvas lo yamush sefer haTorah hazeh mipicha. Says Rabbi Ami, based on this rule about the lechem apanim, which is really seemingly unrelated to Talmud Torah, but all you got to have is lechem apanim there in the morning and at night. Says Rabbi Ami, if someone were to learn just one perek in the morning and just one perek at night, that's now considered to be constant, just like the Lechem HaPanim is considered to be constantly present when we just have it there in the morning and the night. So too, in order to fulfill this pasuk of Lo Yamush Sefer HaTorah Hazeh Mipicha V'Hagisa Vo Yomam V'Laila, all you need is one perek in the morning, one perek at night. That's the conclusion drawn by Rabbi Ami here. And the Gemara continues. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. It gets even more extreme. Rabbi Yochanan says the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Afilu lo kara adam ela kriyas shema shachris ve'arvis kiim lo yamush. Even if a person, all they did in terms of Talmud Torah, okay, we're saying it may not depart from your mouth. You've got to be meditating it day and night, right? How do you do that? Shema Yisrael. In the morning, at night, Yotze lo yamush atara zemi picha. Unbelievable. However, the Gemara says, let's not stop there. This is the juicy part. V'davar zeh asr la'amro bifnei am ha'aretz. However, he would castigate me for saying this in a shir, in front of recording, when anybody can listen to this online. It's prohibited to tell this to amei ha'aretz. Obviously, that's not a concern with you. I know you all here in the room. But who knows who could be listening on YU Torah? So therefore, the Gemara says, you know, it's not a good idea to tell this to people, because what do you think is going to happen when you make a big announcement to the Amei HaAretz that all you got to do in order to be Mekayim Lo Yamush Sefer HaTorah Zemi Picha is just to read Kriyat Shema at morning and at night? That's all they're going to do, right? And he says, therefore, Asar La'amro Bifnei Am HaAretz. However, there is a dissenting opinion in the Gemara. V'Rava Amar No, Mitzvah La'amro Bifnei Am HaAretz. Whoa, where did that come from? Rava says the opposite. It's actually something you should say to Amei HaAretz. Why might that be? Any suggestions while we're here?
So maybe they can't do anything more, and at least they'll do that.
So that's one approach. You should say at least they should be doing that much. Maybe they're doing nothing. Now at least they'll have in mind when they're saying Kriyat Shema. Interesting.
Maybe they want to do more. Maybe they want to show up their teacher. Hey, I can do more than that. That's simple.
Some of the Mefarshim note exactly what you're saying, that if you show them, wow, if you just say one perek of Shema in the morning and at night, and that's lo yamush, imagine someone who learns for an hour in the morning and at night. Whoa! Imagine the schar they're going to get. And therefore, that's what Rava says. We'll see actually how this works in terms of halacha. But let's continue, okay? Shaul ben Dama ben Achosos, Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yishmael ben Dama asked, Rabbi Yishmael, Kegon ani shalamanti kol ha-Torah kula. What about me? I've learned the entire Torah, says Ben Dama. Mahu lilmod chachmas yevanis. What about, you think I can learn Greek wisdom now? I've already learned the whole Torah. I finished it. Done. Okay? Kara alav hamikra hazeh. This is another approach as to what it means lo yamush. And this approach is far more stringent than before. We said until now, how are you, say lo yamush? A little bit in the morning, a little bit at night, we're all good. What does Rabbi Yishmael say? He read him this pasuk, lo yamush sefer atara zemipicha vagisa bar yamam valayla. Say uvdok. He says, tells Ben Dama, Rabbi Yishmael tells Ben Dama, I want you to go outside and check. Sha'ash she'ina lo min hayom v'lo min halayla. Go find a time that's not day and that's not night. Ulamod b'chach mas yevanis. And then you can go and learn the Greek wisdom. You have a chiyuv to be learning all day and all night. And this is taken much more literally by this opinion in the Gemara by Rabbi Yishmael. Okay, so Rabbi Yishmael is of the opinion, v'agisa v'oyam malayla means day and night, nonstop. And that's why he responds to Ben Dama in this way. So now we've got the Rabbi Ami opinion, which is furthered by Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, to say that all you got to do is a little bit in the morning, a little bit at night, even maybe just Kriyat Shema in the morning, Kriyat Shema at night, and whether or not you're allowed to say that in front of an Amaris. And now we're saying there's an extreme opposite opinion that you've really got to learn every second of the day. And the Gemara continues, okay, Ufliga der Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmini, and this disagrees with Shmuel Bar Nachmini, Dar Shmuel Bar Nachmini, Amar Rav Yonasan, and he gets back to your comments from earlier. Pasuk ze eino lo chova vilo mitzvah ela bracha. He takes an even stronger opinion. He says, not only can you be yotze lo yamush with just reading a little bit in the morning and a little bit at night, it's not even a mitzvah. It's simply a blessing to Yehoshua. Hashem is blessing Yehoshua that this will be the case with him. What a wonderful bracha. The Torah should never leave his mouth, right? Ra'a kadosh baruch hu Yehoshua shedivrei Torah chaviven alav biyoser. Hashem saw that Yehoshua loved Torah, so he said, Yehoshua, I want to give you a bracha. May the words of Torah never leave your mouth. May you be able to learn Torah day and night. What a wonderful blessing. If that's the case, we're not even dealing with a mitzvah here. Okay? It's simply a bracha. Now, obviously, it's ludicrous to assume there's no mitzvah of Talmud Torah. There still is a mitzvah of Talmud Torah from various sources, not to mention the fact that obviously you have to learn something if you're expected to keep it. That's certainly the case, and that's going to be something that's underlying. But in terms of the halachic requirements of Talmud Torah, based on this Gemara, we have to look at how they will be codified in later sources to say, what is it that I'm required to do? Is really all that I'm required to do to have that Shema in the morning, Shema at night? in which case I will have much freer of a day. I don't necessarily have to come to Ezra's here at 7:30. I can go home and watch TV. Fortunately, the Raptors game is not a conflict tonight. Lucky us. Either way, though, that's one way to look at it. Or maybe we have this other opinion of the Gemara that lo yamush sefer haTorah mipicha means go and find a time which is not day and not night to go watch the Raptors game. Right? So we've got a bit of a problem here. We don't know how this is going to come out. There's one other relevant Gemara, only because it's so popular, and it will play a large role in our understanding of Talmud Torah. And that is, and I'm going to read this outside, okay? The Gemara in Shabbos. Gemara in Shabbos tells us, Rava says, when someone gets judged up in Shemayim after 120 years, they go up to heaven, and what do they ask them? A bunch of questions. Can anybody remember some of the questions? Did you set aside time for learning Torah? That's one of the questions they're going to ask you when you're up there, okay? And that's going to play a very relevant role. There's some other ones as well, and it's a very nice Gemara. I'd love for us to take a look at it when we have more time, but I think we're about out of time for the first page here, and I'd like to move on to some of the more relevant sources. Now, so until now we've talked about there's this possibility of what Lo Yamush means, that you should be studying Torah constantly. And we've also now thrown into the mix this kavata itim la Torah, that God wants to know, did you set aside time for Torah learning? And that's something crucial. The truth is, we don't want to forget 50% of the population. Normally, this is a controversial topic, but here we're talking about leisure. And the truth is, let's take a look at Rambam in source number 5. The first word is nashim, women. Vavadim uktanim pturim mitalmud Torah. At the end of the day, in terms of the obligation of learning Torah, 50% of the population can go watch the Raptors game, no problems. At least in terms of Talmud Torah, there is no obligation on women to learn Torah. They certainly get schar, there's no question. You can read the continuation of the Rambam in that chapter of Hilchos Talmud Torah later on. He talks about the schar that they get and what they should ideally be learning. And you can hear shiurim and pilpulim and women's Talmud classes and that whole bit. That's not what we're here for now. We're here to say, women, you got it. You're lucky. Great. You don't have to worry about obligations of Talmud Torah when it comes to leisure activities. This year is basically no longer relevant. Okay? For all the women here, they can now walk out of the room and, again, go do all of those things that we're going to talk about in the next 4 weeks, unless they choose to spend their leisure time learning Torah, which is, again, as we said, great. But it's just not, it's not relevant. Nashim v'avadim k'tanim p'tur mitalmud Torah, aval katan aviv chayav l'mamdo Torah, depending on whatever age, you know, a child will need to be taught Torah by his father. Ve'en ha'isha chayev es lamed es bana. A woman does not even need to teach her child, right? We mentioned earlier that part of the discussion is when children have to be taught, is it the father's responsibility? The mothers are so off the hook, and women are so off the hook, they don't even have to worry about teaching their kids, okay? So even though the kids may need to learn, the women don't have to worry about that, okay? It goes together. Now, Shulchan Aruch, completely accepts this and follows through on the Rambam. But now we'll also get to see in source number 6, not only his continuation of this thread to say that women are exempt, but also to talk about what exactly is the obligation on each and every man. And says Shulchan Aruch, Kol Ish Yisrael, again, so we're only talking about men here, Chayav B'Talmud Torah. Every single Jewish man is obligated to learn Torah. Okay, there are no exceptions, says Shulchan Aruch. Ben Ani, let's say you're really, really poor. Can you get off Lima Torah? Nope. Ben Ashir, whether you're rich, you don't have time for it? Nope, you got to learn Torah. Ben Shalem Begufo Ben Bal Yisurin, whether someone's really healthy, or even if someone's suffering, unfortunately. Ben Bachur, Ben Zakein Gadol, whether you're young, whether you're old, right? All men of whatever age, whatever size, whatever shape, so long as they're Jewish, we're talking about, obviously, have to learn Torah. Afilu ani hamechazer al apsachim. Even if you're so poor that you have to go around collecting from door to door, which we think you have less time. And what's the ultimate in terms of someone who has the least time, which I'm now realizing just recently? Afilu bal isha ubanim. Even if you're married and you have kids. And you say, I don't have any time, I'm changing diapers, I'm running around. My wife's calling me to come home for supper. Nope. Everybody's got to learn Torah. Chayav likvoa lo zman litalmud Torah. Has to set aside time to study Torah bayom, during the day, uva laila, and at night, shene'emar, v'hagi savo, yomam, v'laila. as it says, Vagisa Vayamam Balaila. We quote the pasuk from Yehoshua. Which opinion is this following? This is following the opinion of the Gemara that all you have to read is a little bit in night, a little bit during the day, or a little bit during the day, a little bit at night, and your Yotze, the pasuk of Vagisa Vayamam Balaila, and it also throws in the language of Kavata Itim LaTorah, right? Chayav likvoa lo zman l'talmud Torah. So this meshes our two Gemaras that we saw earlier, the Gemara in Shabbos and the Gemara in Menachos, to say every man needs to set aside some time during the day, some time during the night to learn Torah, and then you'll be yotzei v'hagisa vo yamam v'layla. Okay? And in fact, okay, Shulchan Aruch or the Ramah notes, uvishas hadchak, and you know what, if push comes to shove, the babies kept you up all night, afilu lo kara rak kriya shma shachris ve'arvis lo yamushu mipicha karinan bey. Even if you just read kriya shma in the morning and you just read kriya shma at night, it's still considered lo yamushu mipicha, and that's good enough. Okay, so this is the psak of Shulchan Aruch. How does this sound so far in terms of leisure? Good or bad?
Bad. If you're a guy.
Well, if you're a guy, you've got to set aside time in the morning, you've got to set aside time at night, but at least we've escaped, you know, if I could say this, and it sounds a little bit funny, but at least we've escaped the clutches of Rabbi Yishmael, who says, go find a time that's not day and not night. Mm-hmm. We do have to be koveya itim, we have to set aside time, and if push really comes to shove, you can even maybe get away with kriya shma. But at the end of the day, that does leave you some time, it sounds like, in the simple reading of Shulchan Aruch, to have other times during the day, not only to work, but maybe even to relax a little, to put your feet up, to watch a sports game at night. Okay? Interesting, by the way, we talked about in the Gemara that Asr la'amro b'fnei Amaretz or Mutr la'amro b'fnei Amaretz, is it permitted to say this to an Amaretz or not? If you look in the Ba'er Heitev, in this note, in source number 7, he says, Kriyashma b'smag misayim v'davar ze Asr la'amro b'fnei Amaretz, and the smag, which is one of the earlier commentaries, one of the Rishonim who wrote a Sefer Mitzvos, on all the different mitzvos, he concludes that it's prohibited to say it. However, aval hashach kasav b'shem harbi poskim d'yesh lifso karav adamar mitzvah la'omra. However, the halacha that we follow, which is in the Shach, one of the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch, he writes that in fact it is a mitzvah to tell this to other people again, so that hopefully they will increase their Torah learning. Okay, and we'll keep that in mind for a little bit. But this is at the beginning of Shulchan Aruch Yeradeya 246. You go later, 24 se'ifim. Okay? And you get to 246.25, source number 8. And here things get a little bit murky. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Kol she'efshar lo la'asok ba'Torah ve'eino osek, if someone's able to learn. So, the baby's asleep. My wife's asleep. I gotta save her. I'm able to learn. Ve'eino osek, and the person doesn't learn Torah. Oh, shekara vishana, upirish lahavli haolam. Or you did a little bit of learning. You read Mikra. You learned Mishnah. Upirish lahavli haolam v'iniach Talmudo uznacho. And you left to the vanities of the world. You left your learning behind and abandoned it. Harezda bichlal ki divar Hashem baza. You've despised. You've degraded. You've disgraced the word of God. How dare you leave the word of God behind and go and do the Havle HaOlam and go and get involved in other things? Says Shulchan Aruch, that's a terrible avera. And in fact, the Ramah goes even further. V'asur l'daber b'sichas chulin. You can't even speak small talk. You can't schmooze with people, chit-chat with people. No way. Prohibited. So where are we going with this Talmud Torah thing? Is Talmud Torah something you just got to set aside a little bit of time in the morning at night for? Or is it something you've got to do at all times? Then look at this last Shulchan Aruch and really makes it sound anytime you could be learning Torah and you're not learning Torah, again, as a man, is something terrible. Ki dvar Hashem baza. It's prohibited even to just schmooze with people. So how are we to understand this? Where do we go from here? So there are really a couple of main, there are two main approaches that I'd like to discuss today, and that's going to take us the rest of the way through the shiur, about Talmud Torah. For of stuff, so much of what I took from this shiur, and what I'll probably use for many of the coming shiurim, is a wonderful book by Rav David Stav, who is the chief rabbi of Tzohar in Israel, a very interesting and controversial figure. Nevertheless, he wrote a while back a book called Bein Hazmanim, okay, which I'm going to quote here in source number 9. And Bein Hazmanim is all about leisure and relaxation. In fact, that was the inspiration behind the set of Shiurim, being that he discusses a lot of these details, a lot of these sources. Again, not everything that I've taken is from him. In fact, you know, there are some things where I'll begin with something that he shows in his book, and I'll end up on a whole nother trail somewhere else. But that's okay. It's been tremendously helpful, and therefore I'm going to quote it here and there, just, you know, so he gets his due credit for these other sources that are being brought, based on, you know, what he's collected. It's written in Hebrew. I translated it into English approximately. I see here what happened. The source number 9 is approach number 2, which is after the first set of ellipses. Actually, I moved the English to a later page, but I didn't move the Hebrew. So we'll read the English for now. We can turn the page to page number 3. He's going to begin to offer what I know as the, as we mentioned earlier, the Camp Aguda approach. And the approach that I've been told all through my life, from one yeshiva to the next yeshiva, to the next yeshiva, to the next yeshiva. In the words of the Achronim, he writes, okay, at the beginning of page number 3, we're in source number 9. It's possible to find many approaches in understanding the gap between the different sources and the practical instructions that emerge from them, okay? And he's noted some of these conflicts that we've brought up earlier in terms of the Gemaras and in terms of the Shulchan Aruch. And he says, approach number 1, okay, one approach, based on the words of the Ran and other Rishonim, rises from the words of the Gra, Shulchan Aruch Harav, and author of Igros Moshe. Okay, so Moshe Feinstein, okay, Lubavitcher Rebbe, original, the Shulchan Aruch Harav, and the Gra, all have the following approach. According to these poskim, a basic obligation is placed on each individual to learn day and night until he knows the entire Torah. And this obligation is intended to withhold from him any other business that is not essential for his existence. So, I go to yeshiva, and every step of the way through, this is what's presented. You have a chiyuv to learn every second of your life. Now, obviously that's not possible. And if you don't take care of yourself properly by sleeping, by eating, and every once in a while, you know what? Even by taking a little bit of time off, getting some fresh air, getting some exercise, you won't be able to learn your best. But the goal is to be learning really as much as you possibly can. If that's the case, how would there be allowances for leisure?
That's what I was going to suggest, although I think you spoke about it already, but perhaps leisure is essential for existence as well.
Correct. So you'd have to say there is some leisure, of whatever minimal amount that's absolutely required, that would be essential for your existence. Okay, right around the Hebrew words, right? Hechrechi l'kiyumo. Okay? And if that's the case, this is an approach that's really presented as mainstream in the yeshiva shevelt, again, which I grew up going to yeshivas that were certainly part of that yeshivish world, or Haredi world, and this is the absolute reality. You've got to learn as much Torah as you possibly can all the time, whether you're young and you're worry-free, that's a time where you should be learning more Torah. Yay, you know, you may have to do a little bit of secular study so you can support yourself when you're older, whatever the case may be. When you're older, though, and you have a family and kids, then you've got to work more, you'll have less time for Talmud Torah. And in order to have a productive family, you'll need to spend time with your wife and kids. That's also required for your life, and you'll have even less time for Talmud Torah. But in this approach, any spare time is dedicated towards Talmud Torah unless there's something else that's happening there. And based on this, we have the following article from Rabbi Gil's student on Torah Musings, which his question was, is leisure kosher? And he begins with this as a fact. A Jewish man is required to spend all his free time studying Torah. See Shulchan Aruch Yerodea 246:25, right? That's that second source that we quoted in source number 8, that you cannot be mevatel Torah for any reason. If you have an opportunity to study Torah and you don't, that's bittul Torah, that's kidvar Hashem baza. All time engaged in unnecessary activities is wasted, bittul Torah. However, notes survey student, no one can concentrate continuously. Constant study is unattainable. We need breaks, downtime, naps, leisure, all kosher, of course, both in spirit and in content. In contemporary Judaism, he says, I see three main attitudes toward leisure. Okay? Approach number 1, or attitude number 1, or really leisure type number 1, constructive leisure. The first is leisure as an opportunity for personal development. Rabbi Norman Lam wrote an essay titled The Jewish Ethics of Leisure. okay, in which he advances the idea that leisure is a time for expanding one's personality. It is a time of creativity, expression, discovery, and transformation. If I may take liberty in expanding his presentation, people exercise different aspects of their brains during leisure, often arriving at intellectual and emotional discoveries by indirect means. Additionally, leisure includes the arts, which spark ideas and contemplation. In this sense, leisure is a form of non-traditional study and self-development. He's going to take this and say all of these leisure activities that we may be doing, again, in very limited scope, are useful in furthering our Talmud Torah when we're not doing these activities. Furthermore, leisure includes exercise, which is important for health, and we need no excuses for that. Sports, hiking, and working out are important avenues for maintaining and improving health. It is this aspect that is similar to a nap. For those of you who are here for our headline series, right, we had a session on napping during the workday, as some of you may remember, and we talked about how it's not so simple that people can just take naps during the day. One of them is that he's pointing out here, a nap can improve some people's health depending on their situation. For them, naps are a form of medicine and therefore a mitzvah. Hiking adds to exercise the dimension of appreciating nature, God's creation. This can increase our belief in awe of God. In these senses, leisure is a mitzvah. Okay, so this is constructive leisure, which is in different forms a mitzvah. Now, note that you don't have to be learning Torah when you have other mitzvahs in front of you. Again, not our full topic of discussion now, but certainly it would be permitted to engage in such activities because they are a mitzvah. Not only that, but they're constructive towards Talmud Torah. Okay? Whether it be creativity, expression, discovery, whatever we mentioned, but certainly those activities would be okay. Then he gets to what he calls distractive leisure. And this is more of like the bidyeved part, the sort of, well, listen, you got to do what you got to do. And he says, you know, and again, I've cut out some bits and pieces here, life is full of different kinds of pressures, and everyone responds differently to them. Leisure provides a much-needed occasional relief from these pressures. Like a nap relieves exhaustion, a break relieves pressure. On this aspect, the Shulchan Aruch rules that if you need a nap in order to learn Torah, you may take one, even though a nap is bittul Torah. It's permissible if it furthers the study of Torah. Similarly, a break that helps you study Torah afterwards is also permissible. And now he gets into really what I would consider a lot of hashkafa, and we'll summarize this outside. He basically talks about the idea that everything that's being done by a person should be done l'shem shamayim. It should be done with the proper intentions and with the proper thoughts. So when I go down for a nap, or I walk out of morning seder because I need a snack, am I napping and snacking because, oh, it's so relaxing to take a nap. I just love naps. It blows away my whole day. It's fantastic. Or I love food. Food is delicious. I really want this snack now. I can't, you know, I don't want to learn. I want a snack. Or is it, I'm having the snack so I can focus better when I come back. I'm taking this nap so I'll be more awake to study in the afternoon. If that's the case, those are the things that are allowed, and even though they're distractions, really, and as he says, as long as you intend your actions, eating, sleeping, discussing as a form of worship, as a religious activity, then it constitutes a mitzvah, and again, would not be considered something which distracts you from Talmud Torah. So not only do we have this sort of creative, constructive leisure that we talked, that Rabbi Lam talked about, and that was expanded in his first section, even if we are to say that a person should spend every single waking second of their life that they possibly can learning Torah, there still are leisure opportunities, whether in that constructive arena or even in this distractive arena, provided the right intentions are had. So, if I want to go watch a Raptors game tonight, but I'm having it in mind so that I'll be able to focus on my learning later because I just can't focus right now, and that will allow me some downtime to relax, you could make the argument that this would fall under this distractive leisure. And even for those who say that every spare second of your life must be spent learning Torah, you could make an argument in favor of certain leisures. And in fact, he goes on to talk about the opinion of the Chovos HaLevavos and Shaar Avodas HaElokim, which is a classic explanation within, you know, Jewish outlook and Jewish philosophy to say that there's no such thing as something which is not a mitzvah or an avera. Every action that someone does has either a positive result and a positive ramification on the person, or a negative ramification on the person. And if that's the case, he really applies it back to this when we have leisure. When the leisure is done for the right purposes and is strengthening a person so they're able to continue learning Torah, doing mitzvos, chesed, whatever it may be, that's great. If it's done for the wrong reasons, then it becomes an avera. This is the opinion of the Chovos HaLevavos, and really speaking, You know, it doesn't matter how much Torah you have to learn, but that's something which really can govern your life and should govern your life. The truth is we should always be thinking about what choices we can make that will be the best, not only for ourselves and our own personal religious growth, but for others as well. And that's really what he pushes towards here. And again, he writes in the final paragraph, three lines up from the bottom of page number 3, but when leisure becomes a goal in itself, it is improper. Just like an unnecessary nap is forbidden, so too is an unnecessary break. Fun must be for the sake of a break, which should say lishma, not shelo lishma, and not for the sake of fun, which is shelo lishma. It must be a means to a religious end and not an end in itself. So that's the second type of leisure, but here he puts in this important hashkafic point to say that all of your actions should be guided by what you're focused on. And therefore, he's now going to talk about a third attitude which he sees as completely incompatible with his idea of halachic Judaism. And he writes at the start of page number 4, and this is going to be a very interesting discussion, I think, from here in. I'd love to hear, you know, what all of you have to say about this. There's a third attitude I see in contemporary Judaism that I find troubling. Some see Judaism as a series of ritual behaviors with the time in between unguided by religion. They may consider Judaism to be a very encompassing religion with many daily activities. However, other than the rituals, everything else is non-religious, barring explicit prohibitions. Therefore, these people think, he says, as long as they pray with a minyan, wear tefillin, learn some Torah, recite blessings, etc., which are all praiseworthy, they can spend their free time as they wish, again, provided they're not transgressing any prohibitions or doing any averos. If so, he writes, there is no question about leisure. If it isn't forbidden and doesn't interfere with other religious obligations, why should Judaism object? You have fulfilled all your obligations to God. So what do you think about this? I'm happy to hear people's personal opinions, and then we'll go through some of the sources relating to this. How might someone feel about that? Listen, God says you got to do X, Y, and Z, or Z. Once you're done that, then maybe you're good to go.
Sounds reasonable to me.
Sounds reasonable to you.
Yeah, I'll go.
Sound unreasonable to anybody, or everybody thinks it's reasonable?
I'm going for it.
You're going for it. Okay?
But Judaism puts a lot of emphasis on intention. This here seems that the only intention is to have fun. And Judaism doesn't really... There's no such thing as fun. It's a simcha. But the simcha is a religious activity and fun is not. So I have trouble with this.
Okay, so you would move back towards the previous approach, which is say something's either a mitzvah or an avera.
Yeah.
If you're doing it simply to have fun and waste your time, you would say it's an avera.
Right.
Maybe even it's bittul Torah, you might argue.
Maybe.
Right?
Yeah.
For a man, at least. Again. However, and that's exactly what he says, he writes the following. I do not believe this is a legitimate view. Going back to the Chovas HaLevavos and the Shulchan Aruch, everything we do has to involve God. Judaism is an all-encompassing religion. Everything is either religiously positive or negative. There is no neutral territory. There's certainly room for personal tastes and judgments, for decisions on how to allocate one's time. But if done for the wrong intentions, these judgmental areas are not neutral, but negative. And that's the way he concludes. He rejects this view. But!
So I exercise, stay healthy, learn more Torah.
So that's the way. What he would say, that's something which is distractive or constructive. Okay, it's constructive if it helps you learn better. It's distractive if it's just something that you need in the meanwhile. And that's how he would say that any leisure that we can do is allowed. But what that does mean is, if I decide to say, listen, I got my chavrusa in the morning, I got my chavrusa at night, or my shir, or whatever the case is, and I, or even, push comes to shove again, my kriya shma. That means, if I really could be learning now, and I just decide to watch a Raptors game, because I like watching the Raptors, then there's a problem with that.
Yeah, this approach almost sounds like you've ticked it off, done for the day, now I can do what I want until I then have to do something else I have to do.
And that's questionable in his view. The thing is, though, he has skipped over some very important sources. And I'm not here to tell people what to do, and I don't tell people what to do. I didn't even ask Rabbi Karofkin for psak on this year, although I think in the coming shiurim I'd like to ask him for some of his psakim relating to certain activities. But there's a very interesting discussion in Rav Kook at the beginning of Maseches Brachos relating actually to something that is completely irrelevant to what we're talking about today. As whether or not Bein HaShmashot is a reality, does it have an actual length to it? Is it just like some abstract idea between day and night, and there's no actual physical time, there's just day, and then there's night, and somewhere there's Bein HaShemashah, some idea? Or is it actually like an actual length of time that's between one time and another time? This is a machlokas in the Gemara, okay? And says Rav Kook in Ein Ayah here, V'yesh lefaresh at the end of the first line, al pi divrei chazal b'midrash. He says, I'd like to explain this based in an agadic fashion, based on a medrash. The medrash says, what does it mean, Vayikra Elokim la'or yom? When God calls the day, called light, day. Elu ma'asehem shel tzadikim. The medrash tells us, these are positive actions, these are mitzvos, these are things that tzadikim do. V'lachoshech kara layla, into darkness. God called night. What does that mean? That means, Elu ma'asehem shel rishayim. These are bad deeds. And he now quotes a machlokas. In it, the first opinion that he quotes is this Chovos HaLevavos that Rabbi Student mentioned, which says, there's either good or bad. In theory, there's an in-between, but you can't grasp it. You can't grasp it. There's good and there's bad, there's something in between, but it doesn't exist. The middle doesn't exist. There is no middle ground that you can stand on. That's the opinion of the Chovos HaLevavos. However, he says, Omnam yesh ladun bidvarav. He's not 100% sure about exactly what he has to say. However, he writes, he quotes in his second to last line, the Ravid. Umidivrei haRavad b'shar haKedusha shebesefer ba'alei hanefesh, mashma sheyesh mitziut, gam kein ledavar shel reshut. Says, however, if you look in the Ravid seems to understand that there is some actions. There is an action which can be simply permissible and okay. And the Torah allows people to do those actions if they so wish. It's neither a mitzvah nor an avera. And he would say, he'd like to explain again, b'derech drush, in a way of agada, this machlokas about the sun setting and the time of Bein HaShemashos is the same machlokas as the Chovos HaLevavos, according to one opinion in the Gemara. Okay? There's no particular time of Bein HaShemashos, it's just somewhere in there, but doesn't actually physically exist. Whereas according to the other, and he says that would be like the Chovos HaLevavos, to say that there's nothing between mitzvos and averos, it's either one or the other, it's either day or night, and there's some transition between the light and the darkness, but we can't put our finger on it, and we can't say that any action is. And he says the other opinion would say that no, there is actually a space in there for things which are just allowed by the Torah. The Torah allows us to have personal pleasure sometimes, and it's not a mitzvah or an avera, it's just there are some things that are simply okay, they're divrei reshut, they're permissible, they're allowed, and this is actually a real shita from one of the Rishonim, from the Ravid, which is quoted by Rav Kook here, and is brought by Rav Stav in his book to say that not necessarily is this exactly the case. It's not necessarily true that there's disruptive leisure. It could be that once a person has fulfilled whatever he has to fulfill, then he has these opportunities to do these divrei reshut, these permissible things. And in fact, Rav Stav quotes another article, another opinion, not in the realm of this hashkafic ideas, of these muster ideas, of does every action someone do have certain positive or negative implications, but rather in terms of the halachic portion, right? Until now we discussed really two distinct pieces. There may be a halachic obligation for a man to be learning every single second of the day that's possible. And there's also this musar or hashkafa imperative that every action you do be l'shem shemayim, and as a result be always a mitzvah or an avera. But what is the opposite view in terms of halacha? The opposite view in terms of halacha focuses back on source number 6. The first Seif in Shulchan Aruch that we quoted here in Yoredeah 246, then really, what is the requirement for Talmud Torah for men? Not that every second you waste is Bittul Torah, but rather, Kfiyas Itim Torah, setting aside time. Okay, and as he writes, a significantly different approach rises from the words of the author of the Aruch HaShulchan and the author of the Or Sameach. This distinction in the Aruch HaShulchan is also brought in the words of Rabbi Avraham Yitzchak Kook, a different place where Rav Kook addresses his distinction. And what is his distinction? Let's see source number 13. He says, that which we say, that you always have to be learning every single second, and that you should make your work arai and your Torah keva, is only talking about, he says, we'll read the English, and it seems to me that this is written about a Talmid Chacham whose main involvement is in Torah, as explained in Yoredeah 246. Aval bibal bayit stam, but for a simple homeowner, a regular Joe, lo shayach zeh. No regular balabas is learning every spare second of his day. Valstam bal bayit, on a regular, plain, professional, on someone who's not under the caliber of Talmud Chacham, whose, you know, job it is to learn Torah, maybe, or maybe not if it's even their job, you have to look in your Yeridah 246 to see exactly what will be considered someone as a Talmud Chacham. Ein mutal chiyuv rak likboa itim latorah. They're required only to set aside time. Time in the morning, time at night. If you've got spare time after that, from a halachic perspective, says the Aruch HaShulchan, the day is yours. Okay? Ve'osam sholim b'yom hadin kavata itim latorah. The balavatim are the ones who get asked where you kovea itim. Diletalmin chacham she'ikar esko batorah, lo shayach lomer kavata itim. Imagine Reb Chaim Kanievsky gets up to Shemayim. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, you think they're going to ask Reb Chaim Kanievsky kavata itim latorah? That's not what he's supposed to be doing. He's supposed to be learning every single second. And that's what he does. Kavata itim is only for someone who's supposed to be kovea itim, says the Aruch HaShulchan. And therefore he says, for your regular average person, the halachic requirement is not one of every single second always having to learn and complete the entire Torah, which is, an, you know, further to this discussion, but rather it's simply a requirement to set aside time at morning and at night from a halachic perspective when it comes to Talmud Torah for men. Now, this hashkafic discussion that we discussed as to how you should think about and how you should plan out all of your other activities certainly still applies. No one's going to tell you that it's a bad idea to do something that's going to help out other people in your spare time, or to learn a little bit of extra Torah in your spare time. However, you do have room, even hashkafically, within that opinion of the Ravid that we quoted, to say that there is such a thing as actions that are just permissible, that God says, you know what, I don't judge you on what you're doing now, you're allowed to take time for yourself, even if it is almost selfish, so to say. The way we would think of it from the view of the Chovos HaLevavos, that everything is either good or bad, is not the case in that, again, hashkafic or musr sort of approach, but certainly in a halachic approach, we now have a set of opinions, okay, that say that, you know, leisure may be permitted, certainly in the realm of Talmud Torah. And as Rav Stav continues in source number 12, we jump up for a second. Also, from the words of the Evan HaAzel, it rises that there is no total obligation on a person to learn Torah all day. And it is permitted for a person, he writes this explicitly, to enjoy leisure, even though it will certainly cause bittul Torah. Nevertheless, even for a person of this status, it is prohibited to cease learning for no reason. Meaning, if you're learning and there's absolutely no reason, meaning you don't even want to enjoy yourself, you just said, I'm going to stop learning because I want to stop learning, I don't want to learn, that's obviously an avera. That's where bittul Torah comes in. So now we can sort of square back these halachic opinions, putting aside the hashkafa. The hashkafa is very important, but putting it aside just to complete our halachic discussion, we had opinion number one, approach number one, which was the Agros Moshe, which was the Balatanya, the Gra, which we quoted earlier, and which was the approach really taken by Rabbi Student in his article, to say that the only leisure that would be allowed is one that can somehow further your commitment to Talmud Torah, whether it be because you need a breather, whether it be because it'll expand your horizons. Both of those are good reasons to spend some sort of time relaxing. And if that's the case, that's something which is really focused on the final, or the later, I should say, Se'if in Yeridah 246, that tells us that there's a big aveira of bittul Torah, and if you're able to be learning Torah and you don't learn for one single millisecond, Dvar Hashem Bazah, it's a terrible thing. And for the first part of the Shulchan Aruch, it's a lot harder to understand that view, because that sounds like there's this idea of Kviyas Itim. Perhaps they would say that the Kviyas Itim is required in case a person will say, what if I need the entire day for my livelihood? Let's say I'm poor, and from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., I'm collecting door-to-door, I have zero time to learn, and from 6 p.m. to 12 a.m., I'm busy at home. Such a person, you might say, based on the approach of the Igros Moshe, the Gra, et al., that person doesn't need to learn because they don't even have a single free second, right? Nevertheless, they would say, no, you need to take time even out of that day, even out of your basic life needs, in order to be Koveya Itim. You may argue that's what they're saying. However, their main focus is on this last part of Shulchan Aruch, which is all about Bittul Torah. 1 second of Bittul Torah is a terrible thing. On the other hand, this approach of the Aruch HaShulchan, Rav Kook, Or Sameach, Evan HaAzel, also a significant group of, you know, authorities, really focuses themselves on this idea of Kviyas Itim, which we saw in the Gemaras and which we saw in Shulchan Aruch, to say what's required from each male, Jewish male, is simply to be Koveya Itim. And this last part of Shulchan Aruch can be explained in different ways. when it says that someone is able to learn Torah and doesn't learn Torah, it doesn't mean a spare second that they have. It may mean they're kviyas itim. If someone had the opportunity to be koveya itim and was not koveya itim, kidvar Hashem baza. What does it mean to lidaber sichat chulin? They might explain that that doesn't mean literally a person can't talk ever to someone else in a normal way. They would say, as many of the Mefarshim do, that it means talking, you know, sort of in an idle manner, late sanos, things that are unnecessary and silly. And if those are the cases, we have two very legitimate approaches to the requirements of Talmud Torah on men. Okay, and again, women are riding off into the sunset already on whatever it is, a bike, a horse, who knows, relaxing and enjoying themselves. But for men, we have these two distinct approaches which talk about the chiyuvim of Talmud Torah and which really go hand in hand with the Musar approaches as to whether or not beyond that there's really room for someone to say, listen, there's some things which God just lets me do. God just lets me watch the game and enjoy myself, even if it's not focusing on the fact that I'm going to be able to learn better after the game. And other approaches that say, no, every action is so weighted that there's no possibility that there's any room to negotiate in terms of mitzvah and aveira. Those are both also certainly legitimate, and I hope this sheds light on the requirements to learn Torah. But now that we know that there certainly are avenues within both approaches to say, there may be room for me to relax, there may be room for me to listen to music, in the coming weeks we'll talk about all sorts of other different relaxation and leisure activities and how they are sort of shown in the Gemara and Sifrei Halacha, knowing that we have enough room within the rules of Talmud Torah to allow ourselves to take a breather every once in a while. Any questions before we finish? We've got about 2 minutes. Let's say 1, 2, 3. Yes?
Different yeshivas or different schools of thought have different attitudes towards this.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So then there's one man. Can you choose? I mean, is it the family into which you were born and that's what you are? Or you leave this? Is this the difference between the Mitnagim and the Hasidim? I mean, I can see where there would be a tremendous amount of battle just with what you said, because there were so many opinions from which one can draw.
So what you're asking is a generally good question about Psak in general. Where is it that we get any Psak Halacha from? Does it come from your family? Does it come from your rabbi? Can you pick and choose? Those are very valid questions. The reality is, in terms of actually what practically ends up happening, is that there isn't as much of a gap as it actually seems. First of all, because again, practically speaking, if someone can spend more time learning, even in their spare time, matovu manayim, that's great. But, you know, you'll have people that will say, oh, I can only learn 1 hour a day, that's how much I'm able to. 1 hour in the morning and 1 hour at night, or half an hour in the morning, half an hour at night. And they'll put that within both approaches. One will say, all I've got to do is learn my hour in the morning and night. The other one will say, I'm just physically unable to learn anymore and I need to do everything else in order to keep up my life. Practically speaking, this is the way it is. And it's kind of true. You know, the reality is, most people are not following the strict ideal of, you know, learning every single second, but they may very well have a good excuse to say, I can't, I have so many obligations and things that I have to do in order for my life to run properly that, you know, exclude them from that. However, it's technically a halachic shayla like any other that needs to be posed to a rav, you know, whomever you trust. And it's not a machlokas chasidim and smalkdim because the Baal HaTanya and the Gra agree. So that's not the case. However, there are, again, very significant poskim, the Aruch HaShulchan, you know, at the very least, who do sort of support the other opinion. Question 2 and then question 3.
Okay, so at 99 we just finished Yehoshua, mm-hmm. and after he died, things went really downhill. So I was thinking that Yehoshua, instead of literally having to learn Torah, that he would have to follow the laws and morals of the Torah. Because after he died, the morality kind of went downhill.
Yes. Liman tishmor certainly pshat in the pasuk. By the way, we're officially at 8:30, so anybody is welcome to stand up and go. I cannot keep anybody even 1 second over time. I would not do that and take away your Raptors game. That's your excuse. Okay, good. Okay, excellent. So exactly at 8:30, please have your way out and have a great night, everybody. But in responding to that, that's certainly a major portion of Talmud Torah is knowing the relevant laws. And there certainly is an imperative in terms of knowledge that one needs to accumulate in terms of being able to live a Jewish life. And I think that that's a lesson that you sort of learn from Yehoshua, but it is even in the Pasuk, Leman tishmor la'asot kechol ha-katuv bo. That in the case of Yehoshua, Yehoshua's Torah knowledge allowed him to guide the nation properly once he was gone, well, so was that moral and halachic code that he had so much power to.
Is there room for hobbies, woodworking, violin?
Absolutely, we'll hopefully discuss, well, violin we may discuss within music next week, and woodworking, I would say, is probably in my arts and crafts year. But if you have any particular questions, not halachic, because I don't answer those, halachic, you can ask to Rabbi Korobkin or Rabbi Spitz, but something that could be taken, absolutely, and I'm happy to have any discussions over emails. You have my email up here. Thank you all for coming out tonight, and I hope to see you next week. I will be sending you an email with a recording from tonight, hopefully, and other details.